I'm Allison Keyes, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time now for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for this week's Shape Up are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, author and editor Keith Boykin, and NPR's political editor Ken Rudin. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks. A to the K. What's good?
I just want a better nickname than that. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, we'll work on it. You know what I'm saying? There's only 24 hours in a day. So welcome to the shop. Hey, fellas, what's good? Welcome to the shop.
Hey.
Happy health care. My life is already feeling better. I'm already feeling better now that it's passed.
Well, you know what? Word on the street is that there's a new law in the land, with President Obama signing a sweeping health care overhaul into law Tuesday, Allison.
That is too true, Jimmy. Congress made the final fixes to that bill last night, but what's really been making headlines has nothing to do with the law itself, but it's all about the threats of violence being made toward members of Congress. We've got a couple of cuts to play for you. The first is a message left for Democratic Congressman Bart Stupak of Michigan, which was released on Wednesday. Here it is.
Drop it.
Congressman Stupak, you are one big piece of human shit. And think about this. There are millions of people across the country who wish you ill. And all of those thoughts projected on you will materialize into something that's not very good for you. Go to hell, you piece of
okay.
Wow, that sounds like my bookie. They should have said it's not my bookie.
Wait. We've got one more this time from the Republican side. Come on, Ken. This clip is from Virginia Congressman Eric Cantor, who, again, is a Republican. He says he's been the target of threats, too, but he wasn't out complaining about it. And he blamed the Democrats for saying Republicans were encouraging some of the threats.
Wow.
It is reckless to use these incidents as media vehicles for political gain. That is why I have deep concerns that some, DCCC Chairman Chris Van Hollen and DNC Chairman Tim Kaine in particular, are dangerously fanning the flames by suggesting that these incidents be used as a political weapon. To use such threats as political weapons is reprehensible.
A to the
He's
K.
He's got to be joking.
thank you so much. Ken Dog, first up, given the way the healthcare debate has played out over the last year, does the tone and timbre of the rhetoric, does it surprise you at all, brother?
No, it doesn't. I'll tell you why it doesn't, because this is not just started this week. Remember, go back to last September when Joe Wilson, the congressman from South Carolina, yells out, "You lie," in the middle of President Obama talking to a joint session of Congress about health care. Alan Grayson, the congressman from Florida, said, "Republicans want you all to die." I'm not comparing the rhetoric, and certainly when you spit at members of Congress, when there are racial and homophobic epithets yelled at members of Congress, that's beyond the pale. But I think the whole debate from day one has been beyond the pale. The lack of correct information, the ignorance that's out there, and the fear that's out there, that's been out there for such a long time, is really leading to what we've seen over the last couple of days.
A-Train.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we're seeing a political double standard here between Republicans and Democrats. You know, when President Bush was in power and passed the USA Patriot Act or the Military Commissions Act, you know, we didn't hear, you know, sound bites of him being, you know, called a fascist and things like that. But, you know, it seems like the term socialist comes up every other sentence with President Obama. And I think it is particularly reprehensible, you know, that, you know, the Republican Party has really fanned the flames of hatred here.
I gotta be careful though.
No, let's put some perspective into. I mean, the Tea Party movement is most closely aligned to the Republican Party. I mean, that is just part and parcel of their movement. And, you know, on a piece of legislation that gives 32 million Americans health insurance, I mean, that should be non-controversial in any regard. And so that's what really bothers me, is that, you know, it just seems like they're just sore losers, you know, in terms of, you know, the political game right now.
Keith Boykin, my man, You know what? I'm you know, the conversations I'm having in my barbershop is, look, you know, and don't tase me, bro, but I'm just not I'm not sure that the kind of rhetoric we're hearing from the right is dramatically different than the kind of rhetoric we heard from the left when Bush was in power. You know what I mean? That's what I've been saying. How do you read it?
I think that's completely wrong. You know, I think
really?
There's been this effort by the media and by some Republicans to cast this as bipartisan. Both sides are doing it. Both sides are getting threats. That's nonsense. The Republican Party leadership is fanning the flames. It's responsible for contributing to this atmosphere. They're not responsible for everything these extremist Tea Party people do. But heck, you know, they're practically encouraging them. They don't say stop the bill. They say kill the bill. The Republicans barely condemn the behavior of this guy who flies a plane into the IRS building in Texas. This other guy is encouraging people to throw windows, bricks through windows, and the Republicans barely say a thing about that. Members of Congress standing out there on Capitol Hill holding, waving a don't tread on me flags to protesters. It's like waving a raw steak in front of a pit bull.
Okay, wait. I have to jump in. I covered some of those Tea Party protests, and yeah, they were carrying those flags, but almost every person I talked to, except for one, claimed or insisted that this wasn't about race. And Ken is sitting here with his face all screwed up because he clearly has something to say.
Just the thing, but I didn't say race. I never mentioned race.
I hear you.
I didn't say race.
No, first of all, regarding what Arsalan just said, Bush was called a fascist for a lot of things. I saw rallies where Bush was called a fascist and Nazi and Hitler. So those comparisons were there too. Bart Stupak was getting hate mail from the left because of his insistence on pro-life language. But I think it's just gone to a further extreme with the spitting, with the throwing of rocks, with the severing of a gas line to what they thought was a congressman's house. It was actually his brother's house because he had the same last name. Right. And that could have caused so I'm not saying this is not as bad. I mean, look, Bill Ayers, who was bombing, he was setting off bombs in the 1970s, and he later became an Obama fundraiser. You know, I'm saying, look, there's a lot of things you want to draw comparisons to, but the thing, and I was talking to this about to Arslan just before, there was a fear, there's an anger, and I think that it's gotten to a point where people should be afraid, and Republicans, what they haven't done is they haven't stood up and said, this is completely unacceptable.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We are in the barbershop, and we're speaking with journalist Jimmy Israel, Arsalan Iftikhar, Keith Boykin, and Ken Rudin. Before I go back to you, Jimmy, Ken, don't you think this is going to backfire?
Well, it could. You know, we always talk about trends in this country. When Scott Brown was elected to Senator of Massachusetts in January, everybody said health care is dead. The Democrats are finished. Every Democrat is going to lose. Now, when you see President Obama finally accomplishing what he promised to do, getting this passed, Nancy Pelosi standing up to it, even though it looked like it was going to fail so many times. Now that they have something to hang their hats on, the Republicans seem to be on the defensive, and now Democrats seem to have this. Look, all you have to do is, if you're a centrist, if you're a moderate, if you've been voting Republican all along, if you see what's going on with the anger and the hatred, those middle Americans, those moderate Americans, may now be going towards a Democratic way. So for all the fears of a Democratic blowout in November, that may not be the case anymore. But again,
all right,
trends change very quickly.
Okay. All right. Well, I know it's hard for you all to believe, but there was some other news this week. Now, the Pentagon moved a little bit closer to allowing gay and lesbian women in the military to serve openly, Allison.
Well, a little bit anyway. I mean, Defense right. Secretary Robert Gates said that the military would ease the kind of evidence that could be used to out a service member. Some of those include ignoring anonymous complaints, making those who do file complaints do so under oath. Here's some tape of Secretary Gates from yesterday's announcement.
I believe these changes represent an important improvement in the way the current law is put into practice, above all by providing a greater measure of common sense and common decency to a process for handling what are difficult and complex issues for all involved. As I told the Congress in February, I am determined that we in the Department carry out the President's directive on don't ask, don't tell in a professional and thorough way.
Wow. Thanks for that, Allison. Keith, you're out there, right?
Yeah, you know.
Okay. Well, hold on, brother. I want to give you your props. Now, you were an advisor to President Clinton who introduced the policy in 1993, and you have the distinction of being the highest-ranking openly gay man in the Clinton White House at the time Don't Ask, Don't Tell was implemented. Now, do these changes go far enough, or could there be more done?
No, they don't go far enough. There's a lot more that needs to be done, and Secretary Gates has a review process that's underway, and I guess by the end of December, the beginning of December, we'll have some more results as to how this is going to evolve. But ultimately, Congress is the one that has to make the decision to change the law because it was enacted into law back in 1993. And, you know, I remember being in the meeting once with the Attorney General and the National Security Advisor and the Joint Chiefs of Staff talking about a specific case, this guy Joe Stephan in 1993, and the generals were all worried about the rank and file. What are the troops going to think? And now we have new polls out that show that three-quarters of Iraq and Afghan war veterans support repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So the ground has shifted.
Can I jump in and ask a question? Keith, I wonder what you're hearing from the gay and lesbian community about this, because he promised in January, or the president said in January, that he was going to try to get rid of this. So are they annoyed?
Well, I don't think there's unanimity of opinion on this issue. I think a lot of people
Well, obviously, I'm not saying, you know.
Keith, what are
you hearing from people
In some ways, this issue feels really, really old to me because I remember this. I've been, you know, working on this issue in some way or shape or form since the early 1990s. And it seems to me this should have gone on and been resolved by now. People are talking about marriage and the military issue. It's something that just seems natural. Most of the American people support some sort of change in this. They think that gay and lesbian service members should be allowed to serve. So I don't think the LGBT community is obsessed about this. They just think it's something that should have happened a long time ago and should happen right now.
Well, okay. Yeah,
Members of Congress aren't quite there yet.
You know what? Okay, changing the beat slightly, actually maybe dramatically, you know, because
wow.
Well, right. You know, cable TV network TLC has announced that it will begin production on a new documentary series called Sarah Palin's Alaska, a.k.a. The Moose Hunter. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, Jimmy, come on. It's okay. Supposed to be a look at Alaska from the perspective of the former Alaska governor and vice presidential nominee, and it's going to be produced, get this, by the same guy who produced Survivor.
Yikes. A-Train, I know you can't wait to
He's chomping.
You know, what do you think of this move? Will you watch the show?
You know, Jimmy, a great poet once said, cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. And with $1 million per episode that Sarah Palin's going to be getting for this show, she will be rolling in the cream, and maybe we will finally get to see Russia from the back porch of her house.
Oh, dear.
Yikes. I've been waiting so long for that.
Wu-Tang and Palin together.
I feel like there should have been
music under that somewhere.
Ken Dog.
Well, you know, first of all, TLC also has a program, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, and I think that's, you know, it's going to come on right after that.
Nice.
It's interesting because she's signing up for 6 episodes, I think, but I understand she's going to quit in the middle. It's a pattern there.
Wait.
Keith, this can't hurt or help her political credibility, can it?
Well, you know, Sarah Palin has become the Sarah Palin of politics. And I say that with all true sincerity. She has become a joke. And unfortunately, I think it shows how breathtakingly irresponsible John McCain was for picking her in the first place as his running mate. Everything she does is just an example of why she should never have been anywhere close to the Oval Office.
Wait, I know you all are going to kill me for this, and so is Tashima. Maybe she's not listening, but I was up really late last night, right? And I saw this ad for Slim Tees. It's kind of the whole male version of Spanx. Let me play a clip from the ad.
How would you like to get these same incredible results without dieting, without exercising, without pills, instantly? That's right, instantly. Now you can tighten your waistline, trim down your love handles, eliminate back bulges, and even improve your posture with Slim Tees, the incredible new slimming garment designed just for men that can instantly drop you up to 2 pant sizes and give you a slimmer, firmer, and younger looking appearance guaranteed.
Tashima, wowzers. I should add, is our senior producer. But Jimmy, Denzel.
Whoa, hey now.
Denzel, if a woman you were interested in wanted you to wear this, what would you do?
Look, okay. I don't know if I should put this on the radio, but my woman makes me wear enough kinky stuff as it is. Now, I don't mind being the mailman or the pizza delivery guy, but the Slim Tee, you got to miss me on that one. Besides, you know, let the record show that I've dropped 5 inches off my tummy since September.
Good job,
so bust
good job.
That.
Nice.
Bust
nice.
That.
Then I guess we have to put it to you, Ken, because... Well, yeah, that would look so, I mean, it's a T-shirt that holds you in. You all know what the Spanx do. They have these lovely little things that make bulges go away.
Oh, see, I was hoping for a different kind of Spanx. No, but I'll be brief. Get it? No, but I think, you know, I don't think men really care about this. Like, I have a friend of mine who got his vasectomy at Sears, and now every time he gets an erection, his garage door opens. And I think that's much a different thing that men really care about.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This show isn't live. This isn't live, is it?
Yeah.
But don't bump.
Our salon.
Well, you know, it reminds me of the Seinfeld episode with the man bra, you know? And, I mean, I'm rendered speechless by it. I mean, I don't know which guy, which barbershop, you know, they would talk about this in. But.
Keith Boykin doesn't need it because he's in better shape than anybody in this barbershop.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I don't know how to take that, but yeah, I don't think men should wear girdles. I think, you know, if you want a better body, just put down the Twinkie and go to the gym.
Hey, don't call my girlfriend a Twinkie.
Oh, my goodness. But seriously, though, I mean, you guys want your women to look good. Jimmy, in fact, you've written that in your book. So how are you saying you're not willing to do the same?
Well, did I also mention I've dropped 5 inches off my tummy since September?
Yeah, you did. So
okay,
in other words, you don't need to do that anymore.
Bust that. Alrighty then. Yeah,
but when the clothes are off, the truth is out there. So, I mean, you know, it's nice.
Believe that the truth is out there when my clothes come off, brother. Believe that.
Before this
TMI,
gets any
TMI.
Worse, on that note, before it gets any worse, Jimmy Israel is freelance journalist and author of the book, The Denzel Principle. He joined us from WCPN in Cleveland. Keith Boykin is an author and editor of the online news site, The Daily Voice. He was kind enough to join us from member station WLRN in Miami. Ken Rudin is, of course, NPR's political editor trying to get me fired. And he joined us here in the studio. And Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney. They were both joined kind enough to be here in our Washington studios. Thanks, y'all, so much.
Peace.
Spank me.
Yep, yep.